everything beautiful and is prepared, and he says, take a seat, and we take a seat, and we listen to his lies. Well, start turning down the invitations. Start turning down the invitations where he invites you into his liar of lies. No, thank you, in Jesus' name. Stop being wooed in to a place of pleasure and comfort. It's just like we get drunk on the Spirit of the living God. He'll get you drunk up in the things that the world will offer that seemingly will bring you pleasure. Mankind is so drunk now on fame and money and material things and a dollar. They're so drunk on that they can't see clearly. So it's up to us, the people of God, to pray that Satan will take those, not even that he will take them off, but we need to start commanding that they're taken off. You have family members, you have friends, you have neighbors that we need to begin to intercede for. Amen? Glory to God. Well, if you ever pay attention to praise and worship, if you really ever pay attention to that, God will give you a prelude to where we're going. And everything in praise and worship today was about intimacy. Heart filled with praise. Lifted up our hands to worship. And it was one song, giving it all to you. See, when we worship, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through. If you are anointed and called of God to be in that ministry, then you're prophetic. That's why you can send Judah first. We can trust that what you're hearing, you're sharing with the people of God. And what the people of God have to begin to do is to listen to the voice of God through the ministry of music. Don't get caught up in just the clapping and the feel. That's the flesh. That's why we say we worship God in the truth. We worship God in the truth because we're hearing the truth coming forth from vessels called of God. We're worshiping him in truth. Hear what the Lord is saying. He's speaking to you. You don't have to work. Sometimes we sit and we wait for a certain part of the service before we hear God. God is speaking as soon as we begin. Amen. In the prayer, in the worship, even in the announcements. Amen. We have to be in tune. We worship God in the spirit and truth. And God was getting his people's hearts prepared for the message that he's given me through the spoken word, a journey towards intimacy. Then the song, please open heaven and hear me. See my heart closely. No distance between us. I need you close. Pull out of me what I can't see. That's what it takes to break free. That's prophetic. Open up heaven. Glory to God. I'm about to jump out my chair over there. That's what the Lord is saying. Shouldn't that be your cry? Open heaven and hear me. You don't want to just pray to this ceiling and it go. You want it to go to heaven. You want to be assured that God is hearing you. Draw closely to me. Let's get intimate. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today because Satan has come into the world and has perverted the act of intimacy so much that we're uncomfortable with it. Some of you got uncomfortable as soon as I said the word. Amen. Because TV and the internet and magazines have warped the very idea of intimacy, so you shy away from it. You have the book, The Song of Solomon, right smack in the middle of the word. I did a little study in Jewish culture. Anything in the center is of vital importance. The book of Solomon is right smack in the middle of the word of God. But we shy away from it because we get intimidated by it. It's a love song between a man and a woman. Too much for us. Because your mind's perverted. But what God is trying to show you to do, this is the picture I want you to get because this is the relationship I desire with you. An intimate relationship. We'll have one, but we're not going to get too close. Because our idea of intimacy has been warped and perverted. And Satan knew if he could come in and pervert that one sense of how we ought to worship God, he got us. Even John, when he was laying on the bosom of Jesus. I bet you some of you comfortable with that, uncomfortable with that. Mine got it. What is John? What's wrong with John? That's when it started. Because your mind's warped. And that's why men feel uncomfortable hugging men. And that's why men feel uncomfortable crying on another man's shoulder. And don't let nobody come in here and see Pastor Head on Pastor Minor's breast if rumors going to start. Because your mind's perverted. And we shy away from it. And it grieves the Holy Spirit because God said, that's what I'm calling my people to. When we sit in here, we say, open up your heart and get intimate with the Lord. You don't even know how. You don't even know how. Because you're afraid of that word intimacy. But God is going to set us free today. And why do you think the enemy is coming in trying to break up marriages and break up homes and fornication and adultery and all this desire for pornography? He wants to get your mind so warped that if a vessel of God come in and talk about intimacy, it's like, you're uncomfortable with it. You can't open up your heart and receive it because Satan has caused such perversion in the land. We got to wash our minds. We all been there, done that. We've all been in places where we had the opportunity for it to get perverted. That's why men got to be so rough and tough. Heartbreaking. Full of emotional pain. And you're afraid to cry because you think somebody's going to call you a sissy. You're weak. What are you crying for? Man up. You man up and just as crazy. Have all kind of emotional problems because you've been taught to release your emotions. Show a sign of weakness when just the opposite is true. We have to rise above that and stop trying to please man and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Draw close to him. See, the Father, Jesus wasn't afraid of that. Jesus wasn't afraid of letting John lay on his bosom and get close to him. He probably rubbed his head. He loved John. David and Jonathan were intimate with one another. They had an intimate relationship, which means you never seen husband and wife. I'm like that with Joy. Before he's speaking, I'm thinking. When I'm thinking and he's speaking. You see, intimacy takes some time. But the enemy going to come in and try his best to warp it. He's going to get your eyes to roving, and he's going to get your desires to get on that internet. You know, he's going to mess up the one area that God is saying is so important with the Lord anyway, intimacy. Intimacy. Just stand for a moment with me in chapter 15 of John. I'm going to read. You can follow along. The vine and the branches. Meditate on it. Go home and read it till you get it. Go home and read until it's a part of your spirit. Go home and read it and believe what you read. Because so many times we think that we can do everything we want to do apart from God. Not so. I'm going to read verses 1 through. I probably stop at verse 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Some of your Bibles use the word abide, just a Greek translation here. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You may be seated. The Father does not lie. That word remain, I didn't count, but it's used over and over and over again. When you're teaching something that's vitally important, you'll find yourself being repetitive. He's saying remain. He's saying remain. He's saying remain. He said everything that the Father's given him, he's made known to you. If you don't know it, the result is you're not close enough to God to hear it. It's not the Father's business. He said he's making it known to his children. You're not hearing, then you're not close to the Father. You know, isn't that kind of hard to take? Isn't that just kind of simple? Yes, I am close. If I pay my tithes, I come to church, I pray. That's not what I'm talking about. When you're close to the Father, you get instructions how to further the kingdom of God. You're just not obeying commandments. You're hearing God on a daily basis say, now do this, now do that, now don't do that. In other words, he's active in your daily life. He's a practical God. So if you get caught up and think just because you're obeying the principles of God, the doctrine of Christianity about tithing and giving and coming out to church meeting, Satan has you fooled. That's not relationship at all. Relationship means that you're close enough to someone that you can hear their heartbeat at a point where they tell you stop. Even if you're doing something that you just want to do, you just know it's the right thing to do, and you've been thinking about this thing for years, you have such an intimate relationship with a person that you trust that person to say, uh-uh, that's not it. Yes, it is. It's perfect. That's what I've been looking for all my life. Uh-uh, it's not it. Now, if you're intimate and close and you know that person, you know the character of that person is not one who lies and one who is for you and who has died and sacrificed for you, you're going to pause and you're going to listen. And you're going to be like Paul. You're going to give all that stuff up. It's dumb. But see, if you're not in a close relationship with the Lord, you're going to make pretend you hear him. Yes, you are. You're going to go through. You're going to find a script. See, I told but what is God saying now? Amen. See, you're getting God to agree with your mess. And then when you get in the mess, you cry out, God, help me. The Lord said, well, if you were close to me in the beginning, had asked and followed my directions, we wouldn't be here. But he will help you. But there's so many areas in our lives where we could have the abundant living where we would not lose our joy if we were just close enough to him to trust him because we heard him. Everybody needs a word from the Lord. I don't care what you can be going through. You can hear one word from God and it'll bring you up out of that spirit of depression, hopelessness, despair, because you've heard from God. It may look like it's the end, but I heard from God. And that word begins to permeate in your spirit. All of a sudden, joy and strength begins to rise up in your spirit. Your countenance begins to change because now you're letting the Holy Spirit work out in you God's perfect plan for your life. His perfect plan for your life is not for your life to be cut short by sickness and disease. If you're not satisfied, it's not time to go. And you tell death, nope, not satisfied. Because God in his word said he should give me a long and satisfied life. Amen. Key word. Amen. You satisfied? Well, then you're not going nowhere. And the enemy can play around you and tuck around your ear and even can bring false signs to make you think that this is real. But we don't go by what we see, do we? We go by what we know to be true. Amen. In the word of God. Amen. If you're not satisfied, you're not going anywhere. Glory, just fight the good fight of faith. I'm not saying you're not going to have to fight, because you're going to have to fight the mindset, because Satan will ambush you. He will magnify, and he will bring fear and frighten you. But the word of God overcomes all of that. I love John because John is telling us how to proceed to have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. Now that word in the, if you have the New Testament, the word is abide. It's a Greek word. You know, I looked it up. And it's already translated in my translation to say remain, to continue. So you can't be in and out in God. Okay, you got victory today, and all of a sudden you're running, and you done told God, okay, I'll be back in a few weeks. We got that one, didn't we, Lord? I'm happy now. Children doing fine. Got me a new job. Money coming in. Got me a new car. I'm happy now. And what it is, you step out of him. But he says you have to remain in him. Because see, as you running, you don't know what's going to hit you around that corner. And then you're going to go crawling right back. Father, here we go again. But if you had never gotten out of him, he would have told you, don't turn that corner. And you would have straightened on up and kept running forward. You have to stop trusting in your experiences. Always trust in God. I don't care how wonderful the outcome. Don't step out of Christ. The Bible tells you here. Now, if Jesus is speaking and he's taking the time to say remain numerous times, do you not think that's important? Remain in him. It says continue, dwell in him, reside, persevere. Stay near or close to. A little warning. Sometimes problems can come that will put space between you and Christ. First, you were real close. Then the problem started. And the problems drew you away from Christ. Now take a moment to think about it. If you're already in a mess, why are you going to let the mess draw you from the one person that can give you victory? Amen. See, we need to pause and think for a minute. In other words, you need to snuggle up even closer in Christ. Don't be drawn to the mess. Be pushed to Christ. Because that's where your hope lies. That's where your strength is. That's where your comfort is. That's who your where your teacher is. And he'll tell you all things. He will encourage you. So don't let the mess up your relationship with Christ. So in 1 John, in John that I just read, Jesus used the word command, stay in Christ as a command. He says, stay in Christ. He says, stay in his love. He says, stay in his word. He says, stay in his obedience. He's commanding you in Jesus' name. He's saying, stay in me. He's commanding you to do that. He's commanding you to stay in his love, stay in his word, and stay in his obedience. He is giving us the equipment we need to defeat the enemy 24/7. If you're in the army, and your captain knows that the enemy's across the hill, he'll say, stay in your foxhole. Stay prepared. Stay quiet. Okay, you got some nut going to jump up. Charge! Everybody in the foxhole dead. You didn't follow the commands. Same way with us. If Jesus has given you a word, we need to follow his command. That's how you live an abundant life. Obey God. Stay in his love. You're around a group of people who are doing just the opposite. They're not loving. They're not giving. They're backbiting. You need to run from that. Because God says if you stay in his love, you have success. What would happen if you're out of his love? You have given the enemy permission to come and say, I found in you something I can attach myself to. And now you're in the enemy's camp. Now, why are we given the command? Because God is so concerned that during this season that we know what he is doing. What he's saying. What his word says. And what is he teaching us right at this moment? What is he teaching you right at this moment? What is he saying right now? What's he telling you, his children? We ought to know exactly just like the sons of Issachar, the signs of the time. We have no business getting caught off guard with the enemy's tactics, because if we have formed an intimate, close relationship with God, we know all things. We are so content with just knowing this much. We content with knowing where we go to church on Sundays at 10:30. Well, I know I go to praise and worship practice on Thursdays. I do know that we have Bible study on Wednesdays. And I know Gideon goes out every fourth Saturday. I know that. But I'm asking you, do you know what God is saying? What's God saying about your situation right now? What is he saying about your health right now? What is he doing in your finances right now? How's he dealing with the mind and the voices? What's he doing? What's he doing? Has anyone ever stopped to ask God, Lord, what are you saying right now? Life can be difficult. It can be very, but God knows everything that's going on that pertains to you. Have you stopped and paused and say, Lord, what? Why? And the most important question is, now what do I do? We'll run to everybody and anybody when the Holy Spirit is saying right there, come to me. I'll tell you what's going on. You don't have to, because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know what's going on, the enemy know he can throw fear in there. Because most people fear the unknown. Why? Because you're not in control of it. You can't control it. You don't know what is going on, but God knows everything. Got a financial setback. All of a sudden, you have no friends. All of a sudden, you got chaos in your home. You're trying to figure it out. You're quoting the word, but that's all you're doing. You haven't heard. Father, what is going on? Tell me what is going on. And he will tell you if you have that intimate relationship with him. You know, we can walk around and we can wear the banner of Christianity, and if someone come up and say, can you tell me what God is doing at this exact moment? Most of us will either lie or not say anything. Mm-hmm. We'll make up stuff. But is that really what's going on? Look at the world, per se. Why should we be getting upset with what's going on? The word tells us it's going to happen. It's a different thing if you're grieved, because the Holy Spirit's always grieved against sin. But why are you upset? Has not God told you this is supposed to be? Now, have you asked him, what should we do? Or you just take it upon yourself to do what you think is the right thing to do. And whatever you attempt to do, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be very ineffective. It's not going to work. So you see why God is pulling us together now for an intimate relationship with him? He needs to talk to someone who can hear him. He needs to talk to someone who hear him and will obey him. And as we go out to do his work, he will give us courage and boldness to do what he's called us to do. But who's hearing God? Who's hearing God? When's the last time you sat down and asked the Lord? You know, how often do we sit down and we deal with pain and misunderstanding and rejection? We'll deal with that, but we won't cry out and ask God what, how, why. We won't run to him. Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question. How is it possible for a human being like me to have an intimate and ongoing relationship with the divine God? Some of us think God is so unreachable, so untouchable. But he sent his son Jesus to give us an indication of how touchable and loving and kind he is. He came in the form of a man where he even wept. But some of us may ask ourselves, how can I have an intimate relationship with the Father? He's divine. And we use it as an excuse for coming into his presence. Some of us are even uncomfortable calling him Abba. You're more comfortable saying God. Mm-hmm. You know why? We feel more religious. You know, God said. But if you're in an intimate relationship with the Father, the word that's used is Abba. You know, you're not going to go around and call your dad, "Hey, Kenneth. How you doing, Kenneth?" He's daddy, isn't he? He's daddy. You know, your child coming to you, "Gary, hey, Gary." Where's the relationship? But if you see a child coming, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, Mom," you know, Dad, it's a relationship there. Even if they get on your nerves, your last nerves, it's a relationship there, which means there's hope, which means there's still an opportunity for them to listen and hear and see what you're saying, which means there's open communication for them to come to you. And sometimes we foster that type of relationship because we allow them to call us by our first names. We allow them to be equal with us. We think it's cool. We think it's hip. But a child is a child, and a parent is a parent. And a parent is there to train up a child in the way they should go. See, we reverence God, but he's still my daddy. I still respect him. He's not JC. You know, people get cute with that foolishness. See, that's a worldly way of saying I have a relationship with the Lord. No, it isn't. That's that you telling me that you're ignorant of how to worship my Father. See, you're not going to come up in my house and call my husband by his first name. Mm-mm. That's Mr. Chavis, and that's how you're going to address him. Especially if you're 12, 13 years old. Mm-mm. No, we had some neighbors' children across the street. George, I say, "What? I don't have to worry about it. They don't know me anyway." "I'm just George's wife." I said, "What?" I said, "Come here." I know Che probably said the same thing. "Hey, oh, Lord." But to me, that's disrespectful. Now, if you think it's cute, so be it. I don't think it's cute. And it's not that I'm putting age on me. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about being respectful. You have to teach your children to be respectful. Where did we lose that art? Even when I was coming up, if I had older cousins, I couldn't call them by their first name. It was aunt. Okay, I'm 15 and they 40. I'm going to call, "Hey, Sandra." They would allow it. "No, you can call me auntie until you know." But the same way with the Father. We try to fool people that we have this close relationship with the Father by calling him nicknames or the man upstairs. That's foolishness. That's not relationship, and the Lord is not going to be a part of that. He is holy. He is awesome. He is high and lifted up. He's a mighty God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He raised his son from the dead. He's all powerful. And you're going to step in his presence and say, "Hey, JC, I think not. I think not." You're going to come to him in a humble spirit. He's full of love, and he's going to pour it out. But he is not to be disrespected. And don't let the enemy pervert that to keep you from going to him in a childlike way and receiving his love and knowing he'll never hurt you nor harm you. He'll never leave you. He has all the answers to your questions right there. You have to learn to be intimate. If you don't know how, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how. Don't lose your earthly relationships to define intimacy. Do not. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart how to be intimate with your Father, loving and kind and trusting him. And see, when you don't have a close relationship with him, the enemy is free to come in and just pull you down. You are nobody. You are worthless. You were a mistake. There's no point of you even trying. You don't even have the education to. Who do you think you are? You don't even look right. You don't even wear the right clothes. You don't even talk right. See, that's what the enemy will do. But if you're in a close relationship with the Lord, he'll tell you just the opposite. You're more than a conqueror. You're the head and not the tail. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Glory to God. By the time you get out of there, you think you can be president of the United States of America because you believe what the Lord is saying in your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's where we draw our strength and our boldness from, by having an intimate relationship with the Lord. If things don't go your way, don't beat yourself up. Ask the Lord, is this of you? And if it is, agree with God and move on. Accept some things in life that's not going to always bring you happiness. You always have joy. But when you sit down and you begin to write out your plan for your life, you better make sure it's the Holy Spirit writing through you. Because if it's just you writing out, you're going to be disappointed. Because, see, that's how the flesh is. The flesh is so full of pride. And I don't say that to be negative, because we've all been there. I plan out my life. I'm planning out my children's life. Playing out George's life. George's a grown man. I'm still trying to plan out his life. Just crazy. Because, you know, for me, it's A, B, C, D. And God came in and put A, Z, W, T. Lord, this is. But I had to learn to step back and let the Lord do what he wants to do in our lives. And guess what? It's so much better. It's so much better. And a lot of times what happens when you begin to plan out your life and others' life, if it doesn't work out that way, the enemy brings in a spirit of shame. Yeah. Oh, your children didn't. And here I am. See, I'm covering up what my children has done, because you can't see that, them little bosom sins. But I'm sure going to criticize yours. Right. Mm-hmm. Girl, they what? Dropped out? Oh, my God. Oh, drugs? Lord, pregnant? Right. See, that's how we do one another. And if you're weak, you're going to fall for that foolishness. But if you trust in God, you're going to say, oh, but all is well. And I'm done with this conversation. Why are you going to sit there and let someone belittle you and those that you love? Nope, all is well. And I'm done with this conversation. Glory to God. Because sometimes we'll get on that side and we can agree with them and we'll turn against our own. We'll start seeing them through the eyes of others who are being critical. Where are they going to run to now? Who's going to lift them up now? Who's going to encourage them now? Who's going to let them know that life isn't over? You may have to take a few little different turns, but you can still get there. Who else is going to support them? Glory to God. Woo, Jesus. Glory to God. If we just stay close to him and turn to him for our every need and our every desire, we just, you know, you're laying home and you're not feeling well, why don't you talk to the Father? Why do you just succumb? See, that's how I used to do. You know, George, I can't make it to the medicine cabinet. Can you help me? Bless his heart, though. Just go lay down. I got it. Okay, George. Girl, and when I laid in that, oh, that pillow felt so, George, can you put the covers on me? Thank you, George. George probably would have put them on my head. But as you begin to grow in the Lord, you begin to realize the agents of the enemy. And instead of talking to George, I talk to that enemy. I say, you are a liar. I say, I forbid you to attach yourself to this body. It's a holy place. This is a temple of Almighty God. You are not welcome here. So you begin to learn the word of God and you begin to apply. And then all of a sudden you feel strength rise up in you, and you get right tickled, don't you? You can see the enemy just running out of there. And take that while you're running. The word works, I'm telling you. So when you feel it coming on, you don't accept it, turn around and say, where you going? You getting out of here in Jesus' name. My body magnifies God. My body glorifies God. My mind is blessed because I'm the righteousness of God. So don't even try to think I'm losing my mind. That's a lie. The mind of the righteous is what? Blessed. All right. Half y'all better repeat that. The mind of the righteous is blessed. So we don't succumb to that. We don't succumb to ungodly sorrow anymore. We don't succumb to rejection anymore. We don't succumb to depression anymore. We rise above that because we're the children of Almighty God, and we have a weapon. The word of God says life and death is where? In the tongue. Open up your mouth and speak to that thing. Stop accepting it. You're not feeling good about yourself. As David said, encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't sit there and wait for some. Well, they don't get home to 5:10 and you gonna wait to I or whoever else get home for. You better encourage yourself in the Lord. Open up the book and read a song. Begin to sing a song. Just begin to glorify God. Even when you're afraid, you still glorify God. Because there's going to be some times in your life you're going to get rocked. You're going to get rocked if you're living. But as long if you get rocked and don't touch the ground, you're okay. You have to have something in you to make you bounce back up. Then you may get rocked to the other side. Don't stay there. Get up. And that's when you say, God, help me in my low place. God, help me with my fears. God, I'm afraid right now. I can't think straight. That's what a father does. Cry out to him. We don't cry out to him enough. Help.
Yeah.
Amen. Help me, Lord. See, a spirit of pride will come in where you think you all that. You got a job that pays you 7 figures. You know, you got you a brand new car. You got you a brand new house. Children doing well. You think you don't need help. Keep living. Yeah, keep living. Keep living. Hallelujah. You better learn to cry out, Jesus. That's all you got to say. Jesus. Don't be trying to bring up some form of prayer on the internet. Glory to God. Jesus, help me. He'll run to your rescue. He'll knock you down trying to get to the situation. Get out the way, Vera. I'm here. Hallelujah. Point me in the right direction. The word of God says. See, are you pointing Jesus towards your situation? The word of God says. The word of God says. The word of God says. You seeking God on that situation. Hallelujah. Y'all in love with Captain America. You better get in love with the captain of your soul. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's my cake, George? Where's my cake? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your heads. Come out of that place of sorrow. Come out of that place of defeat. You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Let his strength begin to flow through you. It's not over. Resist sadness. Resist depression. Submit yourself unto God. Call on the name of Jesus. Then get out the way. Because he's going to knock you down getting there. Jesus, help me, Lord. It's all right. There's no shame in that. Folk talking to you, getting on your nerves, as soon as they leave, call on Jesus. Let Jesus come and just saturate that atmosphere. Don't give up. Don't talk and agree with the situation. That's the worst thing we can do. Lord, they get on my nerve. Lord, would they ever change? Lord, I've been trying. I mean, that's the problem. You've been trying. Get out the way. Trust God. Get out the way and die. The Bible says, die to yourself. Situation come and immediately you agree with it. Well, I knew I never could. Well, I knew I never would. I'm tired now. And then you go into a pity party. Why me? I used to say that sometimes. I don't say that anymore. I don't say why me because everything is working for my good. So I don't say why me. Hallelujah. I just ask God, help me to keep walking towards your perfect plan and will. There's no why me. Obviously, it's part of your life's plan. That's the why you. So just keep walking and trusting God, but don't get out of him. Remain in him. You can do nothing of yourself. The word just told us that. Did it not? Stay in Christ. And if something happens, don't say why me. Say, Lord, give me the strength to continue walking in your purpose and plan for my life. Because when you begin to say, why me? You make yourself sick. You begin to feel sorry for yourself. See, the enemy's draining your strength. You don't even have energy to fight the devil because he's sapping your strength. But it's the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. Take joy in knowing that God is working everything out of your life for good. I don't care what it is. Everything, everything, everything for your good. In your past, you was a robber, a drunk, a thief. What word it? Prostitute, whore. God said anything. I'm in him now, so God, work all that out for my good. Work it out for my good. I am not going to be drugged down by my past. I'm living in the present. Trust God. You got empty areas in your lives? Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Hey, praise God. More room for the Holy Spirit to fill. Trust God. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. If you're going to get intimate with anybody, get intimate with God. Get intimate with him first. Everything else will work out. This God of the universe. That's our Father. All that power. All that strength. All of him living in you. This God of the universe who said he has the universe in his hands. How big is the universe? And don't forget, he did. People even argue, did he make the universe? Well, the word says in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Said the universe includes planets and stars and galaxies and atomic particles and all matter and all energy. Everything started with God. That's your Father, y'all. Everything started. He's in control of your life. And here comes a lying enemy to try to magnify himself above God Almighty and get you to believe that he can come and interrupt what God has purpose and plan for your life. I don't think so. Only way he can do it is if you agree with him. Because see, you got a big image of Satan and a little image of God. You got to turn that around and magnify the Lord over all your circumstances. We forget that it's not just the earth. They say the earth is just a tiny planet in a vast solar system. We're in the Milky Way. Now, I'm just talking about the Milky Way. And that is the galaxy that we're in. And we have in our Milky Way over 200 to 400 billion stars in one galaxy. Your God did that. That's just one. Ooh, and they say he got the universe in his hand. I'm just talking about a little old galaxy now. He is amazing. He's a big God. And you frightened? And you walk around in fear? And you allow the enemy to come in your life and shortchange you? And telling you what, when, how, and what's going to happen to your life? And we serve the God of the universe. Come on, magnify the Lord. You see one or two little stars. Oh, look at all the stars. I know God just, you know how Father just laughs at a child. You little silly thing. There's over 400 billion stars out there. And the Bible says he knows each one of them by name. Ooh, glory to God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. One, and look, one galaxy I talked about. But you have over 1 to 200 billion galaxies in the universe. Now you take our stars in this one galaxy and multiply them down 200 galaxies. They say the number is so large it's just a one with 24 zeros. They couldn't even come up with a name for that number. Our God is an awesome God. Woo! Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And he said, look, he saw him, he said, but he hold all that in his hand. Right there in his hand. Can you see him? Awesome God. Satan doesn't want you to have that picture of your God, your Father, who created you. And he said, I'm going to come and live in you. Woo! All that power in you. Glory to God. And he said, I want to have an intimate relationship. Oh, it makes you want to bow down and worship the Lord our God. Father, thank you that you want to come and live in me. And now you're telling me to stay in you. Why not? With all that awesome, I'll protect. Who in the world can get to me when I'm hidden in Christ? Lord, have mercy, who's holding the universe in his hand. And I'm inside the one that's holding the universe. Woo! And always Satan can get to me if my foolish self step out of him. See why he says stay in him? Stay in his love. Glory to God. So Satan come with these little lies on how he's triumphing. You laugh at him. Ho, 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 he, ha, ha, ha. Laugh at him. Laugh right out of your face. And you begin to just magnify God. You begin to rehearse your place in Christ. You begin to see how awesome your Father is. He who holds the universe. Yes, we can have an intimate relationship with a divine God who made all of that. And see, this is what man has seen. We don't know what's hidden. But it's enough to let us know he's an awesome God. Hallelujah. There could be more than that. But God has shown us what we need. And I'm going to finish this up next week. But I'm going to encourage everybody to start seeking an intimate relationship with God. See, we're going to talk about that journey next week. That's what God is taking. We're on a journey, y'all, towards intimacy. So important. Read the Song of Solomon with peace. It'll give you an idea of what kind of intimate relationship God wants to have. See, God can't even come and say, you know, oh, Francine, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. You're so beautiful. We shy away because we see ourselves as ugly, worthless, because we don't look like so-and-so. How in the world can the Lord call me beautiful? So we shy away from that, but that's what he wants to say. You know, you're so beautiful. You're so lovely. Your skin is so smooth. See, we get uncomfortable with that. But we got to get to a place where we can allow the Lord to minister to us. And if he calls you beautiful, is he a man that he should lie? Well, then believe him. If he says you're beautiful, you're beautiful. If he begins to just encourage you, and when the last time you've been encouraged by the Holy Spirit? You won't let him. You won't let him. Because you feel that what he's saying is not true. And then you always take the lead. You always take the lead. Just lay and be still. And let the Holy Spirit encourage you. Let him tell you how wonderful you are. How beautiful you are. How precious you are. That your body, remember, is the body of the Holy God. And then let him let you know, rest. Because everything about you is in my hands. And what you may have thought may not be, but don't stop trusting God. Don't let your emotions get all whacked up. Well, you stopped living in the joy of the Lord. Because, see, God is good. He's almighty. And if you can trust God to say, God, your time, and leave it there and move on, your joy will return. And then you have to trust maybe what you're asking God for isn't suitable for you. You may think it is. You may think you all that and some. But, see, God knows everything. So even his loving kindness, he may keep some things from us because he knows it'll cause havoc to your life. So trust God. Learn to wait. Get intimate with him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet.